I just want to do God's will.
The kind of revolution that the world needs is a Christian revolution.
If you want a miracle, you've got to expect it to happen.
You are the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, and you rejoice in that reality.
Welcome to Life Today Live on this Friday. And at our office, it is casual Fridays, and so I can wear a t-shirt. And so I'm a big hockey fan, and so I've got my Dallas Stars gear on, right? Playoffs start on Monday for us. And I'm excited about that. And I was watching a game last night that would determine who we played in the first round. When the news broke of Israel firing rockets, and we don't know a lot of the details, but into Iran, and you just watch that and you go, man, what is going on in our world? And in a lot of ways, even equally as disturbing, you see people on college campuses and in the streets in our own country supporting wiping out the Jews. And I'm not one of these, there's an element of Christianity that I don't agree with the theology. But I look at a situation, and what happened on October 7th, I've seen there's a film out, 47-minute film out, that has a lot of the footage from that day, and it's horrid, it's shocking. And you go, man, what? You look back on the history of our country, and I know it's easy to go, well, if I had lived in the 1850s, I'd have stood up against slavery, or if I had lived in Germany in the 1930s, I would have stood up against Hitler. And you go, this stuff is happening in our world today. Are we going to stand up against the evil in this world? And that requires a lot of courage, yes, but it also requires a lot of faith, and it requires an action. It requires us to step out in a way that we're not comfortable with, that we're not equipped for on our own. And our guest today calls that type of move, and it doesn't have to be, going to war or something, that dramatic. It can be as simple as speaking truth into a situation. It can be as simple and as difficult as loving someone that is screaming in your face, right? But always standing for what God stands for. And she calls that taking a leap. My guest today is Rachel G. Scott, and she has a new book out called Taking the Five Leaps. And I love her take on this, because she's looking at stories in Scripture. She's looking at people in Scripture who took that leap, and they did something that you wouldn't just maybe normally do. And what happens when you do that is even more remarkable and more beautiful. And I'm going to let her unpack that. So appreciate you guys being with us today. Chat is open. Hello, Judy. If you want to jump in the conversation, you're always welcome to do that. Rachel, good to have you on Life Today Live.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
So this is kind of a thing that you've taken on. You've got your Taking the Leaps podcast. And this whole concept is something that you've really grabbed hold of, and I love it. What is it about the idea of that leap? Not a word I use every day, but and that's part of why I like it. What drew you to that whole idea?
I would have to say that there is probably two significant moments that really drew me to leaning into this idea of taking leaps. The first one is just my own life story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like throughout my life, God has called me to take so many different leaps, to step into so many places that were outside of my comfort zone. And I always felt like there was only one way for me to do that. There was only one way. My heart was always to honor God and to obey him and to, experience these things with God. And I felt like the only way I could do that is if I walked away from everything. And so that's what I had done multiple times in the past. But then the other thing that really became a significant moment for me was when I was mentoring a writer. And she was a healthcare worker. It was during, there was a lot going on. And this wasn't quite when the big thing was happening, but it was around that time. And I remember her just having this pull because she didn't want to walk away from the healthcare industry. She knew the value that she brought in that. But at the same time, she was really dedicated and committed to this writing. She knew that there was a message that she needed to get out into the world. And so we talked and I just encouraged her. But when I walked away from that time, I just felt like, you know, I needed to ask God some questions. I'm like, Lord, is this the only way that a person can obey what you're telling them to do? Is it the only way for them to walk away from everything? And then the second question I asked him was, if not, then show me someone in the Bible who has done something different. And that's where all this came from.
Uh-oh. You went to scripture and God showed you.
There you go.
All right. Well, so before we get into some of the examples in scripture, you kind of touched on it a little bit in saying you walked away from things, and you can expand on that if you want. But what, when you think of a leap, what does that mean in your mind?
Yeah, now it means a few different things. But I would say initially it meant to leave my career and go into my calling, to walk completely away from that career and step fully into the calling in obedience to God.
Mm. That's okay. Well, that's a good succinct definition. When you went to scripture, and I know I won't give it away. You, who stands out to you, or who maybe impacted you initially when you went and said, "Okay, God, what is this thing, this leaping thing?"
Yeah, I would say that Paul stood out to me because his to me was not one that you would initially feel like is a leap. Because it seems like that it's just something normal. He was doing ministry, but he also had this tent making skill. And, you know, that's not necessarily a leap. But I say that the tent maker is a person who their career and their calling occupy space in the same season. Mm-hmm. So they are still stepping into something that is uncomfortable, that's risky, that has all the other elements that a typical leap would have, but they may just have a little bit of comfort and cushion with the job, but oftentimes that tent maker is really wanting to do the other thing full time, but they know it's just not time. So it's that balance of timing and relationships and delegating and all these other things. So he really stood out to me as the first one. I think he was the first one that God highlighted to me.
You know, and I hear, and maybe you hear it now, in vocational ministry, in other words, what we call full-time ministry, because it's a job as well. People I wish I could be full-time ministry. I'm like, you are. You are. If you are a child of God, you are called by God, you are in full-time ministry.
Yes.
You're just closer to the front lines than I am, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it there are times where you stay in your job, but you are in ministry, and that doesn't mean you go around annoying, you know, all of your coworkers, preaching to them all the time. It means you demonstrate all the time, mm-hmm. And you know, that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And that does. It's funny in the world because I've worked in a secular job before, and it's a different culture out there, you know. And so when you come in and you're a peacemaker and you're kind and you're gentle and you're putting other people's needs ahead of your own needs, and genuine about it, you know, it stands out, especially as our culture, you know, becomes more and more of what they call a post-Christian culture, less church culture. It does stand out. But there's another one that is more akin to what you did, who in the Bible, God called him to leave his job. And that can happen as well. What did you see in Peter?
Yeah, so Peter is who I call the fisherman. And he is honestly the one I think a lot of us are more afraid of, is that big call, that big leap, where he completely walked away from his career and he went fully into the calling, into the ministry. And I'm not saying we're afraid of it because of the calling, because for some people it's to start a business, or, you know, to write a book, or to go into full-time ministry. But it is that complete removal from what we know to be that comfort, that security, and going into the next thing. This is the one that I had done. This was the only one I thought existed, the only one that I was familiar with. But we get to see specifically Peter and how God used him later, after Jesus died. You know, we got to see and rose again. We got to see how God used him in such a powerful way because of his willingness to step fully into that space.
you know, one of the things about that is in leaving his job, that was his income, that was his mm-hmm. security, and I think a lot of times we don't want to step out in obedience to Christ because we're just not secure in him, if we're honest, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a hard thing. And you want to be wise about it. You don't want to do it without being called, basically, you know, to do it. And sometimes he calls us to stay. Sometimes he calls us to leave. When you took that leap, did it require you leaving your hometown or anything?
So I have done one where I had to leave a space where I was comfortable. That's another one. That's actually the Shepherd's Leap, and that's based on Abraham. But, you know, when I took multiple of the Fisherman's Leap, it was just the careers that I had were ones that people they want. They're like, this is, I'm going to retire from here. This is what I'm going to do. It wasn't the type of career that you go into for a short period of time. Mm. You are committed until you retire to that, you know? And so I knew that what I was walking away from was that potential security, was that stability, were the opportunities of growth and all these other things to go into this unknown place of ministry where I had no clue what I was getting ready to do. I didn't have a full picture, but I knew that it was something God was calling me to. And I didn't even have the full picture of what it would look like once I stepped out. So there were so many unknowns. And I'd like to say I'm a calculated risk taker. I will take some risk, but I need to know a little bit of information beforehand. I mean, just enough for me to feel like I have a fallback plan. But oftentimes with this Fisherman's Leap, you don't always see the full picture. And what I started off doing is not even what I'm doing now. And God is still getting the glory.
There's a pattern in scripture that's very unsettling for us mortal men and women. And that is, you know, you can see it in a lot of instances. The idea of manna being one of them, which we spiritualize appropriately and say we need to go to God's word every day, right? They literally had to have food every day to survive. Like if they didn't, yes. if God didn't provide that day, you know, you go hungry in the desert real fast if you don't have food, you know, and you're not going to last that long. I'm like you, like I want to see miles down this road before, I want to know what's at the end of it that I can't see. And then I want to head down that road. What got you through the times where you're like, man, I can see one step at a time. I mean, this leap is very, very short right now. And then tomorrow I'm going to have to take another one, right? You know, that kind of dependency is hard when you're stepping into it. What got you through yours or continues maybe to get you through yours?
Yeah, that's a good question. Continues is definitely it.
Right, right.
You know, what I have had to learn about my own personality is that I will easily forget what God has done in past seasons.
That's important.
But it's those past seasons where the evidence of his goodness was revealed that I need to go back to every time. It's his history. So I have learned to go back and look at his faithfulness in past seasons and know that he is the same God that will do that now. And then there are scriptures that I hold on to when I'm like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. I have key scriptures that I hold on to, that I recite, that I remember, that I wake up in the morning thinking about all of those things to help me as I'm going through it. Now that is the spiritual. From a practical perspective, I think just having those people in my circle to encourage me and to remind me of the word of God and to remind me of truth and to remind me of why I am doing this is also very helpful, because we all have those days where you try to encourage yourself and it's not working. You know, you're listening to worship music, you're reading the word, nothing's standing out. You're not getting that light bulb moment. And someone comes along and they just say exactly what you need to hear. And that is the other thing that I think is very helpful.
Yeah. The desert is real, people.
and come on.
Sometimes you're there. You talk about scriptures. I'm the guy that tries to figure out everything. I genuinely want to understand things, you know. And when I read scriptures and I'm like, I don't get that. It can be disheartening. Or when I'm, you know, trying to decide whether to leave a job, because I've done that too, move my whole family from one state to another. It's real hard. And there's the scripture that for me, and everybody knows it, it's a well-known one, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that's a whole thing there. We can do a whole show on that. But lean not on your own understanding. And what's interesting is that is in Proverbs, which talks all about gaining knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And so it's not saying that my understanding is not a good thing, you know, because it is. Understanding is a good thing. It's saying that it's a limited thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't trust in your own understanding because it's limited is the way I apply that.
Yeah.
And all your ways acknowledge him. And it doesn't say, and he will show you your entire path. He says he'll make your path straight. And that is a partnership between us and God where we go, okay, I don't understand, but I trust you. How much is trust, how much has that grown in you? I'm curious.
Yeah, it is a day-by-day thing. And it's interesting because there's times where I'm like, Lord, you have me write this book and I'm still on this journey. But that's the thing, is that we are growing in that every day. When I look back at the seasons that I was in years ago and where I'm at now, I can see the growth, but I still can see how much more I have to go. You know what I mean? It's I can see that growth for sure, where God has shown me things and now I have tools to go back to, and I have, you know, memories to go back to and stories of what he's done. But then a new challenge presents a new opportunity to grow in my trust of the Lord. And so that's what I am doing, is every day it's like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna trust you with this. I'm gonna trust you with this. I'm gonna trust you with this. It's a daily walk with Jesus.
It is. And I love that you said that, because it really is daily. And it's not always the big thing, leaving a job, moving to another state, you know, switching careers, that kind of thing. So what I find is that leap, that trust, that obedience really manifests itself every day in little ways. And it may be stopping and going back to that person in that, you know, grocery store or restaurant or coffee shop and just saying whatever God puts on your heart. I always try to temper it and not sound too weird, but you know, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
but like, you know, if you feel like, well, that person seems really down, you know, just go back and go, hey, I appreciate you being here today and doing your job and serving me. I look forward to coming in here and getting a meal or getting a coffee or whatever. Thank you for being here. I mean, just something that kind, it's crazy. I mean, at worst, they're going to go, oh, okay, sure, thank you, sir, old weird guy, you know. But, I mean, like 99 times out of 100, it really impacts them in a way that was so unexpected. And we, you know, we're planting the seed. We don't see the harvest necessarily. But that's the obedience and the trust and the faith on a daily basis.
Yeah.
How many leaps have you taken this week?
Right. I'm telling you, I mean, every time I do one of these interviews or have these conversations, let me tell you a big leap that I have been challenging myself with lately is, and you know, it doesn't necessarily fall in this category, the categories of the five, but it definitely does, because it is that trust in God and what he's doing. So whenever I go out to eat, my husband and I, you know, we'll sit and we'll talk, and once the server brings us our food, before we eat, we'll pray. And that's what we always do. But now what I do is I say, hey, we're getting ready to pray over our food. Is there anything that I can pray for you?
Mm.
And that right there is a leap, because you don't know how people are going to respond.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, they're often so thankful. They're shocked. They're thankful. I've even had it where they went back, they told the people in the back, other people came up front and said, your server told me that you asked to pray. Can you pray for this for me?
Really?
You know, and so we have no idea how us stepping out of our comfort zone. And that's really what this is about. It is that stepping out of your comfort zone to do the will of God no matter what. That's just a smaller example of how we can do it. But when we make that a natural part of our day, then the leaps aren't as challenging as when we had no clue how to obey God and how to step outside of our comfort zone.
And you know what would prevent you from doing that? Fear.
Yes.
And what does the Bible say about fear? That's not from God. That's a secret. Yeah. I mean, that's a tool of the enemy. It's deception. And here's the other thing, and I this works for me. I don't know if it works for everybody else. But if I felt like God was telling me, you know what, ask if you can pray for your server before you pray for a meal, because we do that too. We don't ask them, but we pray before our meal in a restaurant. Just know that somebody at some point is going to look at you and go, no, or I don't believe in God. Or yes. You're going to get complete rejection at some point, okay? But the rest of the time, you're going to be amazed at what happens. So if you said, it's kind of like when I was in, it was terrible, when I was dating in college, because I'd been in public school up until I went 1 year in high school, and then I went to a small private school. That's the time you start dating. Let me tell you, the dating in the private school was not a great scene. And then I went to Oral Roberts University, which is like 3 or 4 to 1 ratio of women to men. It was like a candy store for, you know, a teenage kid. And I adopted real quickly a philosophy of, you know what? It's a numbers game. I'm going to ask every good-looking girl to go on a date with me, knowing that some are going to say no, but the numbers are going to play in my favor, and some are going to say yes. And by golly, I mean, you know, fortunately, I married Mrs. Wright, because I did meet my wife at college.
There you go.
I didn't realize her first name was Always, but that's a whole other story. sorry, that was terrible. I'm getting sidetracked. It's Friday. But if you go, my serious point is that you know that you're going to get your worst fear at some point, right?
Yeah.
But God's going to bless so much of that, and some amazing things are going to happen. Do it anyway. And don't let the fear rule your life. Let the faith rule your life. And that's what I hear you saying is, look, these leaps, these things, these movements, these stepping out, are stepping out in faith. And here's the interesting thing, and I want to ask you about this, because, I mean, I know the answer in a short term, but I want to hear your take on it. When you step out in faith, what does that do for your faith?
Yeah, it definitely increases it, because we get to see God be God.
There you go.
We get to see God be God. And without us, we have to do our part first. That is one of the reasons that I wrote this book, because I realized that there were a lot of people who were saying they wanted to do something. They knew God was telling them to do something. They had confirmation about it, but they weren't doing it. Right. And I'm like, where is the disconnect here? You know, God, show me. And it was that fear, like you said, that fear of stepping out. But then also, this is something that I like to say, God is the CEO. When the CEO comes in, things are non-negotiable. They say, fix this, do that. You do what you have to do. You know, and so often we want to negotiate with God. And I'm like, obedience to God has to become a non-negotiable in our life. Mm. It has to become a non-negotiable. And so when God is leading us to do something, we want to, number one, be thankful that he chose us for that task, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's hard, because this means we get to do this with him. And then number two, move, do it. Not just talk about it, think about it, wonder about it, have conversations about it, wait, but actually do that thing, because there's so many people attached to our obedience.
I love it. And you're so right. And again, I do think you got to be faithful in the little things. And so
yes.
Your leap's going to be, I think, for a few times. And I think they'll get bigger and bigger. And that's, you know, we all think, oh, I want to do the big thing for God. And God's going, I want you to do the little thing in obedience that I've just asked you to do. And that's really, that's just such a key to everything. Fulfilling God's purpose, building your faith, developing trust and hearing God's voice, you know, it's the doing. We cannot just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers as well. I'm going to show people your website real quick. Let me pull that up. This is rachelgscott.com. You can also go to takingthe5leaps.com for the book. But if you want to check out the podcast or get the book, it will encourage you. But you know, we talk about books here because I have a lot of authors on, because they've parsed through the message and they're really on point. So it's very helpful. But don't just read the book. go do the thing. That's what you got to hear today. All right, I want to give you the last word. This is very encouraging, and in the world we live in, fear is rampant, but faith is stronger. And I want to encourage people to do the thing and build your faith and see what happens. Let see God be God, because he wants to work through us. And I do think that it requires obedience on our part. But last word for you, what do you want to leave people with when they think about taking the five leaps?
Yeah, I think about that there are so many times when people don't take the leap because they feel like they're not qualified, they can't do it, they don't have all the skill sets, all the degrees, all the this, that, and other. And I just want to encourage you that God can do so much more with your willingness than he could ever do with your worthiness. So when God leads you to do something, just step out and say yes. That yes is the start of so many other things that he wants to do in your life.
So true. The best ability is availability. So be available to God. Thank you again, Rachel. This has been very encouraging. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You can check out rachelgscott.com and her podcast and pick up the book. But more than all that, these are all just tools to get you to do the thing. So go do the thing. And if you haven't, sharing maybe the thing right now. If you haven't liked, followed, or subscribed, do that. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today Live.